Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber.
And musician-filmmaker Mauricio Novelli.
This week we're joined by Rod Thomas, aka Bright Light, Bright Light. Rod started his musical career busking on the London Underground, but has since evolved into an artist who combines strong songwriting skills with electronica. And he's caught the attention of many of pop's biggest names, including Erasure, Ellie Goulding, The Pet Shop Boys, and Elton John. Rod was invited on tour with Elton John in 2014, and Elton also performed on his single, I Wish We Were Leaving. We're excited to hear all about Rod's experiences so far and to see what's next for Bright Light, Bright Light. So, hey Rod, how's it going?
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm good, how are you?
I am well. Awesome. Yeah. So we're going to start out the show awkwardly, like we like to do, and ask you three things about yourself that everyone should know.
I am male. My name is Rod and not Rob. That's actually one amazing thing that everyone seems to get wrong consistently.
Really?
Even though, yeah, like it's insane and it really drives me out of my mind. And the other thing is that my favorite film is Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Cool.
Quite essential to my sense of humor and my social media presence, I think.
Well, see, I was going to ask you actually because I've never seen Gremlins, but I did read that Bright Light, Bright Light is a Gremlins.
It's from Gremlins, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm surprised that Gremlins isn't your favorite film.
Well, it's up there. Hello. But it's not my favorite, I think. Like, I really love it, but I watch Romy Michelle more.
Fair enough. That's fair.
It's like, I'll accept that answer.
Yeah, it's okay. Are you, like, big into, like, I know you're big into 90s because I've scrolled through your Twitter, and actually you mentioned a song that was the first single that I ever bought, which is I Belong to You by Gina G.
Yeah.
So that was the first single I ever bought. I know you're big into 90s. Are you into a lot of 80s stuff as well?
Yeah, I think the 90s is when I first started buying music. So there's a real kind of like instant connection to a lot of those songs and like long-lasting connections. Because when you first engage with something, that moment of like impact is quite long-lasting, you know? So like all of those records are very formative. So Björk, Pet Shop Boys, Kate Bush, things like Living Joy and, you know, Gina G, Real McCoy, Corona, those kind of things. They were like a taster of what the world was like outside where I grew up in rural South Wales. So that kind of decade was really when I was just starting to actively buy music, when I was, you know, like, I don't know, I suppose like searching for what I really enjoyed and reference points for music I wanted to make myself. And the 80s I really, really love as well, but that was probably more passive listening just in my parents' car and that kind of thing. So it was later that I went back and discovered a lot of those acts.
Cool. Because I definitely hear an 80s kind of influence, maybe 80s, early 90s influence in a lot of your stuff.
I think probably like late 80s to mid 90s crossover is my my main love, I suppose, melodically and in terms of like what people were doing with sampling and vocal techniques. I think that, you know, like it's not really like decade by decade. Most decades seem to come into their stride around like 7 or 8 in the years. And then if that kind of hangs over until like the 2 or 3, probably, I'd say.
Cool.
From my experience.
So you started out busking on the London Underground.
Yes.
How did you find the experience of busking? Because I know a few people who have done busking in various places. Any particularly memorable times or anything that happened?
The whole thing was simultaneously non-eventful and really memorable. because it was, you know, there was no explosive confrontation, which a lot of people thought that you'd get like heckled by people in the tube, especially in London where it's so busy. But I met a lot of really lovely people doing it, and a lot of the people that saw me busking still come to my shows today. And I never expected that to happen. It was very useful as somebody fairly new to London to feel like there were really good people here, even at their busiest, rushing to work. People still took the time to say hello, and it really made me feel part of the city that I was living in. So it was really cool and a good way to test out new material and definitely improve your resilience to, you know, not people not really listening and trying to win over people that were passively overhearing stuff. And, you know, it was good for confidence and strength of character.
The idea that no one really owes you anything, you've got to win them over. And I think I kind of approach artistry in that every day, regardless. And I think that's kind of the approach you seem to take. You know, let's win these people over.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not really making music with a cynical viewpoint to it being like my key to money or success.
Right.
I started making music because I really loved melodies and I really loved instruments and I liked combining things and, you know, being able to sing really, because I really just loved singing when I was a kid. And so it's nice that you do get to perform and to have people listen and to engage with people. And sometimes a lyric that I write gets a really nice reaction from people in a crowd or on the internet. People will reach out and say something, which, you know, means a lot more than money that you would earn from it.
100%. That's what it should be all about. That's why you're on the show right now, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
There you go.
So I'm interested, obviously, busking is a very different environment to performing on a massive stage. Like, I know for sure you performed at the SSE Hydro in Glasgow.
Yes.
I want to say that you performed at the O2 in London and big venues like that. I may be wrong. That might not be the right venue.
I haven't done the O2 in London, but a lot of the shows with Elton were extremely large venues.
So how did you find the difference? Obviously, it's a huge difference, but...
Maybe how do you approach it differently? That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah.
And do you approach it differently as an artist?
Yeah, but also bear in mind that I was busking in 2006 and it's now 2015. So it's quite...
Right,
I've had quite a long career.
Yes, of course.
So, you know, you kind of like... over the years, the venue's got like slightly more formal and slightly bigger. So it goes from busking on the underground to, you know, like Hoxton Bar and Kitchen or King Tut's or something like that, to like, you know, 200 people. And then the first time you do one of these shows, like an Elton opening slot where the crowd is that big, it's kind of terrifying in a way before you go on. But when you go on, it's actually a little bit easier because there are people there where they aren't necessarily... when you're doing your own shows, and it's so much easier to play to 10,000 faceless people than it is to play to like 10 people in an empty room, because you at least you've got like
cross looking at you.
Well, you've got somebody to perform to, you know. There's nothing worse than playing to an empty venue, and a lot of the smaller venues, you know, I shouldn't really say it, but like a lot of the people working at like some dingier venues don't want to do their job very well. They don't really care. It's not the case of places like King Tut's or like Hoxton or wherever. They have like really good staff, but you can come across venues in your travels across the world where the staff or like the sound guys particularly aren't on your side. But at the bigger venues, they really are. So you go on stage and you feel comfortable because you can hear everything you need to. And actually that's like an amazing feeling. I've had sound guys at, you know, a venue in London, like absolutely refuse to help me with the monitor mix, and
what
it's like, you know, it's one in 20 will cause a problem, but it's those are the things you remember. So when you kind of like do this, the larger venues, the people there are, you know, they're, I suppose they're looked after better by their infrastructure in the venue, and so they're more able to do what they need to do and what you need them to do. So it kind of gets a little bit easier when you get that high up in a strange way.
So bigger is better.
I'm not a size queen.
I love it.
Well, we've kind of touched on your tour with Elton. It's amazing that you were invited on tour with Elton, because I know that he doesn't really, he doesn't have many support acts.
No.
That's phenomenal. So,
yeah, how did it all come about? That's what I'm interested to know.
Me too.
Well, so right back to the start, when I was still doing stuff under my own name, I was managed by a lady who then started working for his management company. And so they heard about me through that, and we went to the staff party and I was introduced to him. So he said a really quick hello, really nice. And then he kind of like keeps in touch with what people are doing, and he's very shrewd, and he's very interested in new musicians. He's like, he's a music fan, and there aren't that many people who are just simple music fans, like living in the music industry these days. So he's always like digging out new artists, like looking at who's doing what, reading reviews, reading, you know, release schedules and stuff. And so when my first album came out, he read the review and he called me and said that he'd read the great review. And then he called to say that he liked the album. And he does this for lots of people, which no one would really realize. Like he knows how much it means to have support from someone in the industry, and he knows how much it helps to have advice. So he's one of the few people that will give people, you know, advice and their time, despite being like one of the busiest people in the world. So we met up and gradually became good friends, I suppose. And then I was demoing my second album, and I played him some demos, and he really liked Wish We Were Leaving, so he agreed to sing on it with me, which is mental. And and then when I went to record the vocals with him, he asked when the album was coming out, so I told him, and he asked me to go on tour for, you know, the 2 weeks around the album release. And then when we did those 2 weeks, it went really well with his audiences, and the team loved us, the crowds loved us, so it just went, it kept getting extended, and it went from 11 shows to 55.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was quite
that
quite
is
crazy.
So great.
Yeah, it was
so great.
It was the most amazing thing that anyone could have done for me, and everyone in that whole touring team treated us all like family. You know, I would say like royalty, but that's not true. They treated us like family, which is much nicer. You know, they made us feel so welcome, and they made us feel so supported, which, going back to what I was saying about some of the venues you come across, the support is what really makes doing live stuff exciting and interesting and fun and challenging and rewarding. So to have that level of support from him and from his team is life changing. And it's like, you can't put into words how much that means, really.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's phenomenal. Honestly, it makes me have a new respect for Elton John.
He's amazing.
I've always respected him, but I just, that's a new respect. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy in the media to focus on like every tiny little word that people say wrong, but like no one really gives a shit about the nice things that people do, because he's not doing them to get famous, or you know, exactly. He is famous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
He's not doing it for like column inches.
One day he'll be famous.
The philanthropy I'm doing.
Yeah.
He's actually giving a shit about people who need care, because he wants to help, and it's so amazing. And there are like 30 people like me that he's rung, 40 wow. people a year that he's rung to like say, your record's great, what are you up to, like do you want any advice? And like, who does that? No one.
Yeah, that's true. And there should be more of that. I think, you know, there should be more people that have the experience and want to pass it down to, you know, and maybe not a new generation of songwriters, but you know what I mean, like people that are starting, you know, to do things. And
well, it's like pass it on. What is it? Not pass it on. Pay it forward.
Pay it forward. Yeah.
I'm sure you're gonna. If you haven't done it already, I'm sure you're gonna do that at some point. You know, just to remember what he did for you and just keep passing that on. What a positive, beautiful thing to do. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, we don't hear this every day. So especially such a, I would say, an icon like Elton John. You know, so that's
there are a lot of
there's a reason he is where he is too. You know, or he still is where he is. So.
Yes, and the reason that he's surrounded by really good people as well is because he treats them well, you know, like that's kind of the key. Like you see people who are working really hard, but not a single person in the team complained, and you're like, wow, that's very
wow.
Yeah.
So we got to ask, are there any funny stories or any interesting things that you can share about being on tour with Elton John?
Oh God.
Or anything in general.
I mean, It's a funny one, because like, unless it's something like everyone was so wasted, then it's like, it's not really. I mean, I don't know. Like, we had a really good time and we watched YouTube videos and I bought him a Bonnie Tyler record. Like, I don't know. It was very normal because we were kind of, we're friends and we just hung out and like listened to music and were stupid and laughed a lot. And it was amazing, but like no one finds that interesting. So I don't know.
What though? I do. I find it interesting because I think that we forget that people are people. You know, despite where you are in the world, you know, you're still a person. And I think people forget that. And like you said, everyone wants to focus on the one or two negative things someone's done in their entire career, you know, and people have to remember they're real people.
Yeah, exactly.
That are living out their lives in front of, you know, in his case, millions of people, you know, and not just their closest. So that's really great to hear. That's really great. What sort of advice would you give to aspiring musicians that would love to reach the level of success that you've reached?
Just work really hard. There's nothing else you can say. It's like, just work really hard. Like, how else are you going to achieve anything? You know, I went to a friend's school recently to give some like career advice, and he was trying to get people from lots of different industries to like a school where the kids come from a complete range of backgrounds. And I was trying to explain it to kids. It's like, if you want to be a musician or an actor or whatever, but you kind of have to think of yourself like maybe a plumber would. So you've got like something you need done, right? You've got like plumbing work you need done. You open up a book and there's like 50 plumbers. How do you choose between a plumber to do the work that you need done? How do you separate yourself as like a better plumber or more reliable plumber than another one? It's kind of the same thing. Like, how do you show that you're not exactly the same as every other musician? How do you show that you have ideas that other people don't? How do you show that you have a good work ethic? Like, you just have to think about the things that you want to achieve and how you can maybe achieve them without backing from somebody, without £1 million, without being able to tour the world. Like, how can you get to the next point that you want to be at with the means that you have? And then hopefully by the time you get there, somebody will have like paid a bit of attention, so you'll have like a slightly wider reach than you did first time around. So, you know, you've got to work hard, and you have to plan. Like, nothing successful happens as an accident and lasts, I don't think. Even people that think like overnight successes are like this phenomenon of nature, like nothing is like that. Everything has got planning, and everything from the moment it starts to work has planning until the moment it fails.
I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and never a truer word spoken.
No, that's such phenomenal advice. I was about to say that I do think that there is a level of luck involved, but it is luck. There is a level of luck, but it's also about creating like the best luck possible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Putting yourself out there in order to help those chance situations and opportunities in a mix with, of course, a hell of a lot of hard work. Trust me. Totally.
Yeah.
Get that,
I mean, you know? Yeah, luck is involved, but I mean, you know, you're not, if you say luck, then people, one, give up on the chance happening, and two, presume that like you can just be sitting in a bar in East London and a record company will happen to be on the next table to you and give you a deal. It's like, you know, you have to create opportunities for luck to find you, I think.
Yeah, that's why I was reluctant to use like the word luck. I think it's about, Russ and I often mention this on the show, I think it's about being open, creating an environment where opportunities can happen, you know. 99% of the time you're pursuing them, you know, but being open and being able to see an opportunity when it's there and getting on it, you know. So yeah, I'm reluctant to use the word luck, but you know what I know what you mean. Not so elegantly. So are you ready for 20 questions?
Yes.
And just so you know, I have Twitter and Facebook stalked you to try and tailor these to see you. So,
Ross is a good researcher. Okay.
Well, we say that until we find out that half the stuff I mention is wrong a lot of the time. So.
Okay, here we go. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Veggies.
Good answer. Makes me happy. CD or vinyl?
Vinyl.
Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Brooklyn or London?
Brooklyn.
Ooh.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yogurt.
Breaking Bad or Orange is the New Black?
I've never seen either of them.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm so shocked. You see, like, my horror?
I know.
What are you watching right now?
Schitt's Creek.
I've never... What show's that?
Google it immediately. It's amazing.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, Schitt's Creek. It's amazing.
All right.
So, Gizmo or Mogwai?
Gizmo.
Indie or major?
Oh, I don't know. Indie.
80s or 90s?
90s. Girls Aloud or the Spice Girls?
Spice Girls.
Tori Amos or Kate Bush?
Kate Bush.
You say Amos, eh? I love it. Amos.
But that is how it is, though. It's Tori Amos.
Everyone here would say Tori Amos.
Amos. Yeah, but you also say Lemon. It's,
what do you say? Lemons? What do you say?
No, like Lemon.
I love it. That's actually
I find it amazing in America. So it's like lemon, salad, like all these kind of things. Like Christmas.
I'm in Toronto here, but we're very Americanized. So. Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Celine Dion, obviously.
Obviously.
I know you're Canadian, by the way. I'm just like referencing the Americas.
Oh, no. That's why I don't take insult because, I mean, we're North America, honestly. Very much similar.
Steps or S Club 7?
Oh, I remember S Club 7.
I hate them both, to be honest.
Ooh, it's okay. I'm not really a fan of them either, so I'm not offended by this.
Sorry.
Favorite 90s pop group then? Let's ask.
Yeah. I want to hear that.
Group? Christ. Eternal.
Oh, Eternal, okay. Was that with Louise Redknapp or after?
Pre and post, I'd say. I like a lot of Eternal songs.
I remember Power of a Woman, because I remember I got that free with Pepsi had like a giveaway, and like you had to collect like the things, like, what do they call it, like, the ring pulls from your cans, mm-hmm. and you would send them away and you get a CD, and it had, I think it was a live version of Power of a Woman or something like that, and I remember really liking that song.
What do you call the top of the bottle? What did you just call it?
Oh, no, it wasn't the bottle, it was the can.
Oh, okay, what do you call that,
though?
Ring pull? I've never heard that
before.
What
do you call it?
What do you call it? Tab.
A tab?
Yeah. The tab, or, you know.
A tab. That's insane.
I love it.
I've never heard that before.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson.
I'm sorry, Ross. Ross and the Bolts are like this. You know,
we're
they tweet
friends,
each other.
Yeah. Occasionally.
Has he touched you? ... There.
I want to think of a pun now.
Well, we're hoping to have him on the show, so we'll get back to you on that one.
I can't get over that song title. It's so astounding.
Which one?
It really astounds me to this day. Can I touch you? ... Oh, I remember seeing that as a child and just being like, that's amazing. It's so amazing.
Oh my god.
Oh, the Bolt. Oh, the he's Bolt. So awesome. Okay. Twerk or work?
Work.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Martin.
Whale or kale?
Whale or kale?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whale?
Which
do
one
you mean
that?
To eat or just like as a general concept?
Just a general concept. We don't really
whale.
Know. Whales are beautiful, aren't they? They are beautiful creatures.
Yes.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Bette Midler. Christ, she's amazing.
I was just going to say, isn't she awesome?
She's amazing. Yeah.
And the final question to make you feel very awkward will be asked by Ross.
Thanks. Okay, so Ross or Marcio?
Boop, boop, boop.
Looks like we've lost him. You can just say
I
Roz.
Couldn't possibly say it.
I
it's
would
like,
pick you, Roz.
I can't answer that question.
I'm sorry to do that to you. We're kind of okay. Not sorry. We do that to all our guests. So what are you listening to lately, man? What's on your, I don't know if you have an iPhone or an Android, or what's on your playlist?
It's a little bit out of date because whenever I'm touring and writing, I don't really tend to listen to new stuff, but I really love the latest Twin Sham Eclipse. I love the St. Lucia record from last year. I love what else I've been listening to? Loads of Pointer Sisters, like old Pointer Sisters. And, oh, I was listening to the new Tame Impala album as well. I really like that. Is that how you say their name? Tame Impala?
Don't ask
it's
us.
Not familiar.
me and Matthew, yeah. We don't pronounce anything right.
So, well, it's all relative too, right? As we've learned in this episode.
The Twin Shadow album. Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
Very, very yes. And yeah, I need to check out the Tame Impala one, or however it's pronounced, because I keep hearing him mentioned everywhere. So
I've seen that name everywhere for this record, so it's doing very well, it seems.
And cool. Here's a question for you. What's your favorite Bjork album? And I ask this because of What's Behind You.
It's not What's Behind Me. I think it's Vespertine.
Yeah, really, that's a great one.
Yeah, it changes a lot, but I think Vespertine is the one that I've listened to and got lost in. Yeah. Like, I listen to them all the time, and I do really, really love, God, at least the first five of them equally, but Vespertine is the only one that really takes me like out of the world that I'm in and puts me in this very insane place.
It's difficult to find that level.
There aren't many albums that are that immersive, I don't think.
I agree.
But that one is really special, I think. It's an incredible record.
Awesome.
Cool.
And where can people find you online?
They can find me on basically like all of my social media has the handle BrightlightX2. So it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, blah, blah, blah.
Your website too, BrightlightX2. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that earlier and I was like, this is one of the rare occasions where someone has all of the things exactly the same. It's just so much easier. Yeah. So,
the only I have all of mine is just my name except for YouTube, just because someone had stolen it.
Yeah.
But it makes it so much easier. People can just
It does, it so yeah. I mean, it's just like simple and you can just, use those icons. You don't even have to write them with a /.
Exactly. If you want to know what I've been up to, go to marcianovelli.com or find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as /marcianovelli.
And if you want to know what I'm doing, you can find me at electrickiwi.co.uk and I'm at electrickiwi on Twitter as well.
Perfect. Where does that name come from, Electric Kiwi?
Good question.
Oh, it's such a boring answer. Like when people ask me this question, I get asked this question almost every day. I really need to think up an interesting story.
Just
but
make
the,
it up.
The reality is I was 16 and I really wanted a domain name because I'd been designing websites for a while. But I couldn't think of anything. I didn't want it to be my name. So I was just looking around the room and putting words together. And I looked at a plug socket and thought, electric. And then I saw a kiwi fruit and was like, kiwi. And I was like, it's really dull. It was either going to be frog-like sponge or electric kiwi.
Electric
kiwi wins.
You know what? You're going to have to make up a story. And Rod, you're going to have to make up like a fake Elton John story just to tell people. So they're like, oh my God, that really happened? You're like,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
you should say like you accidentally put a kiwi into an electrical socket. Got shocked, spent like 3 months in the hospital. And
that's why my hair is like this.
Electric kiwi. Hey, man, this has just been fantastic. Thanks so much for taking
me.
Thanks for coming on the show and taking the time out to chat with us. We really appreciate it. And all the best of luck to you. Congratulations on all your successes. And please do come back.
I will. I'm sure I will. If you ask me.
We will definitely ask you.
Say hey to Elton for us.
Yeah. I will.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.